Alright everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Brandon Show Podcast. First off, before we begin, I want to apologize for the long break between episodes. I mean, the last episode was in April of 2022, and now it's January of 2023, so it's been a while. Anyways, in today's episode, I will be talking about death and the statistics of death according to age. So yeah, let's get into it. Death has become a thought of everyone's life. Today on the Brandon Show, a run-through of the statistics of death based on age and different types and stages of death, examples of specific death situations, and whether I agree with them or not. Plus, the story of a woman giving birth on the floor of her mother's house. The Brandon Show starts now. First off, let's start off with the definition of death. According to Wikipedia, death is the irreversible cessation of all biological functions that sustain an organism. Everyone has dealt with death of some shape or form, whether it be a family member or friend passing away or a beloved pet. One example that I went through recently was on January 11th, 2023. I lost my cat named Cleo. Anyways, let's talk about the stages of death or the different types of death. Starting off with clinical death. Clinical death is the medical term for cessation of blood circulation and breathing, the two criteria necessary to sustain the lives of humans, being, and or many other organisms. It occurs when the heart stops beating in an irregular rhythm, a condition called cardiac arrest. The term is also sometimes used in resuscitation research. And yeah, so this that information came from Wikipedia. Now, I do want to say that clinical death doesn't necessarily mean that they are officially dead. There are ways to bring them back. That's when you would perform CPR. I mean, remember, we saw a couple weeks ago during an NFL game, Damar Hamlin collapsed because he took a hit to his chest, or at the exact same, like, there was this millisecond where you get hit at the right time, it could lead to cardiac arrest, and that's exactly what he went through. And that kind of just reminds me of something like that. And cardiac arrest can happen literally because of just a bad hit. It doesn't have to necessarily be a heart attack. It could be something else like that. All right, next up, let's talk about brain death. According to NHS, which is based out of the UK, brain death, also known as brainstem death, is when a person on an artificial life support machine no longer has any brain functions. This means they will not regain consciousness or be able to breathe without support. A person who is brain dead is legally confirmed as dead. According to JAMA Network, brain death diagnosis requires presence of three conditions: persistent coma, absence of brainstem reflexes, and a lack of ability to breathe independently. Coma is confirmed when a painful stimulus causes no eye opening, no verbal response, and no limb movement in a patient. Next up, let's talk about biological death. According to AED CPR, biological death is where the victim's brain is damaged and cells in the victim's heart, brain, and other organs die from a lack of oxygen. The damage caused by biological death is irreversible. CPR will provide an oxygen-rich supply of blood to the brain and major organs to prevent the onset of biological death. Biological death occurs when it is no longer possible to discern an electrical charge in the tissues of the heart and lungs. So, well, definitely interesting there. I feel like, going back to, like, brain death here, that seems a bit scary there. But, like, if you saw someone go through that, I just remember, I can't remember what incident it was, but I remember I was watching, like, a Watch Mojo video, and they did bring up something about someone dying from dying because they were brain dead, and, like, I think it was, like, an onset incident, like, during this taping of a movie, and the mother decided that the son should be put down, or should be let go, because he was legally brain dead at the hospital. As for biological death, it's very interesting. So, like, you could still get oxygen, but a lot of organs, like the heart, brain, other organs have died because there is a lack of oxygen. So obviously, oxygen is very, very precious. And, you know, if it does become harder to breathe in those places where you see a lot of, like, gases, and a lot of fumes, like, maybe parts of, like, I believe, like, India or Vietnam or somewhere in Asia, because that's usually where you hear stuff about that there. But yeah, moving on. Last up for the stages of death, we have social death. According to academic.oup.com, social death is used to describe the ways in which someone is treated as if they were dead or non-existent. Social death is distinguished from biological death or physical death when the body is considered to have died and ceased functioning for life. Social death can also occur before and after physical death. So at this point, I believe this is the stage where they no longer consider the person a person. Like, let's say your friend died, they would no longer consider it, the doctors wouldn't consider it to be a person anymore. They would more likely consider it to be more of a corpse or something like that, because it no longer exists. He's dead, or she is dead, or vice versa. All right, next up, I am going to talk about the statistics of death based on age categories. First up, we have infant and childhood death. According to NCBI, which is some government website, I don't think it's a Canadian website, but it's some sort of government website. Parents of children and adolescents who die are found to suffer a broad range of difficult mental and physical symptoms. As with many losses, depressed feelings are accompanied by intense feelings of sadness, despair, helplessness, loneliness, abandonment, and a wish to die. Another website here, cancer.net, says you may experience the following grief reactions: intense shock, confusion, disbelief, and denial, even if your child's death was expected. So that would be more like, if it was expected, that would be kind of like cancer, or something like that. Overwhelming sadness and despair, such that facing daily tasks or even getting out of bed can seem impossible. Well, I mean, it was after my cat Cleo died a couple weeks ago, It was tough to try and get back into the rhythm here. Now, after her looking into infant death, it says here on the Canadian website, the Canadian government website, about 3.7 out of 1,000 babies born in Canada will not live past their first birthday. Loss of an infant can have psychological impacts on parents and caregivers. So, yeah. Like, losing a baby, losing just anything, really. Losing in a family member or a friend or losing your child would be very, very difficult. You know, my mother's mom, my grandma, or my baba, Ukrainian, she had to experience the loss of her son. And back, this was even before my mother was born. This, like, he one day put him to bed. Next day, he didn't wake up. So, like, I would assume it's really, really tough here. Now, Canada.ca also states the lead causes of infant deaths. It says immaturity, so that means not fully grown, structural or functional death defects, or birth defects, rather, severe lack of oxygen, and infection, sudden infant death syndrome. So that's exactly what my mother's brother died of. They didn't know the cause. One day he went to bed and didn't wake up. Let's start off with, like, immaturity, though. So, like, I was born before my D-Day. I was born in March. I was supposed to be born in May. And, yeah, I believe I was in the hospital for, like, 6 days. And they were worried I was going to die. Really. And obviously, there are some cases where, like, because there's a lack of oxygen, and the baby just doesn't make it past day one. And now Canada.ca does also state it's some risk factors for infant deaths. So it says low maternal education, which I don't really know how that would get in two hands. And so I guess maybe like the care, like the mother taking care of herself in bad ways could lead to bad effects for the baby. Inadequate housing, so that would probably be more of the line of poverty, which it also says here, it says poverty as well. So, I believe that would probably be, like I know it is tough in some places, like, to try and get healthcare, especially in, like, rural parts of Canada, because most people live pretty close to the border, really. Like, and it's like, imagine living down in the GTA. That's, like, a pretty decent place to get hit at medical attention, right? But out here in the wilderness, where I live, at least, there aren't that many hospitals you can go to, especially the one here in Kenora, which really sucks. I mean, there are a lot of hospitals that seem to be on the brink of collapse, though, based on what we are seeing here because of COVID, RSV, flu, and like it is staggering. It does hear lack of access to healthcare, and that is a problem. I mean, some cases it takes, like, I've heard stories of people who called ambulances, but the incident got too worse to the point where the person died because the ambulance didn't get there in time, and they're just because it's just bad. It's a really unfortunate move. Another thing it says here, it says food insecurity, so that's kind of, a lot of these here, I believe, just fall under the line of poverty. Now, it also says unemployment, but I don't really understand how that plays a factor into infant deaths. How does getting a job, not getting a job, affect whether your baby dies or not? I don't see that. Maybe, like, a depression or something like that. It does say other causes of death here. It could be cancer, other diseases, injuries, infections, traffic accidents, or other types of accidents, and even in some cases, suicide. So this part here is kind of talking about more of like an age from like ages like 2 to 3, maybe like a 4 to 8, maybe even that age there. Or, you know, it does say here, according to NEGM.org, in a 2018 report, it was reported that a majority of childhood deaths from age 1 to age 4 were caused by drowning, which I didn't really expect, really. I mean, I guess it kind of falls under that category of accidents. And, you know, like, it is expected, yeah, that, like, I guess someone would expect that. And that's why there's, like, a lot there. It's very important. Like, beaches or popular beaches or popular places where you can go in the water or they have lifeguards. So, you know, keep an eye on the water at all times. And it is difficult. It's like, some places in Saskatchewan don't even have lifeguards. It's like Crystal Lake, that don't have a lifeguard. There's no lifeguard in sight. Because there, it becomes really, really sad that, or to see someone die just because of drowning, and it's sad to see someone die from anything. But like there are cases where like you need to be like the parents need to pay attention, and that's why like at the pool where I worked at, it was a rule that if you like a kid under the age of 6 had to be with a parent or a guardian of 16 years or older to look after them. And they had to wear a life jacket if they wanted to go into the deep end. And, like, that was even a case remote times when they wanted to do swimming lessons as well. That was the case, too. Now, according to the World Health Organization, since 1990, the global under 5 mortality rate has dropped by 60% from 93 deaths per 1,000 live births in 1900 to 37 in 2020. This is equivalent to 1 in 11 children dying before reaching age 5 in 1990, compared to 1 in 27 in 2020. Yeah. So, a lot of information there. I mean, like, a lot of it I believe is true. Back in the old days, it was difficult. Like, you don't have the type of medicine that we do now. Like, if COVID happened back then it would have been devastating. And it is still devastating now. But it would have been probably even worse if it happened back then, because vaccines were hard to come by. They really were. Now let's talk about adolescent deaths. So, like, deaths in teenagers, so like age 12 to 19 years old. So that type of category there. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and average of 16,375 teenagers 12 to 19 years old died in the United States every year from 1999 to 2006. This is less than 1% of all deaths that occur every year in the United States. The 5 leading causes of death among teenagers are accidents, so unintentional injuries, homicide, suicide, cancer, and heart disease. Accidents account for nearly one half of all teenage deaths. As a category of accidents, motor vehicle fatality is the leading cause of death to teenagers, representing over one-third of all deaths. Among teenagers, non-Hispanic black males have the highest death rate, 94.1 deaths per 100,000 population. Homicide is the leading cause of death for non-Hispanic black male teenagers. For all other groups, though, accidents are the leading cause. Deaths to teenagers 12 to 19 years comprise of small fraction of the total deaths occurring each year in the United States. From 1999 to 2006, less than 1%, and aka, which is actually, it actually says here, 0.68%, or 131,000 deaths occurred to teenagers 12 to 19 years. This represents an average of 16,000 deaths, 16,375 deaths, rather, or per year for this group. Teenage mortality is an important public health issue because of the majority of deaths among teenagers are caused by external causes of death or injury, such as accidents, homicide, and suicide. These causes of death are, by definition, preventable. The homicide bit definitely reminds me of the Idaho murder mystery of 2022, where a man named Brian Kohlberger stabbed four college students to death. And that definitely sparked a whole bunch of controversy across America. A lot of people in Moscow, Idaho, didn't know what to believe. Really, they didn't. They were worried that someone who had just murdered four people was on the run. And they found him. They arrested him on the side of a road in Pennsylvania. Which is, I don't know if you look at a map, the United States, long ways away. Idaho's on the other side of the on the other side of the country. Pennsylvania's literally on the Atlantic. Sorry for coughing there. But and that's insane. And like Idaho's right under Alberta. And like the Brian Kohlberger kind of lived in that area. And there was also an area around in Washington as well where he lived there. That's really insane just how something like that happened. And then as for the motor accidents bit, that definitely reminds me of the Humboldt Broncos bus crash, where a lot of the players killed in that crash back in 2018 were teenagers. And it was really sad for people to see on the news or to hear on the news that several teenagers who had a dream of playing hockey died in such a tragic collision. It was really devastating when I heard the news then, and it is still devastating now when looking back on it. It also reminds me of when this whole like death situation in teenagers also reminds me of when Jackson McDonald went missing in Duck Mountain Provincial Park back in 2021. We know Jackson died from exposure. And we know he texted his mother to come pick him up. However, we don't know what happened at the party. There could be a world. And there is a situation where it hasn't been made clear if he left the party because he was kicked out or he was ready to go home. And let me make this clear, he's from Regina, And Duck Mountain Provincial Park, that's on the other side of the province, East Central Saskatchewan, this near Kamsack. We don't know what happened. He could have been chased away. The kids at the party could have chased him off. He could have got lost. And it could have been suicide. There is a world where he just walks off and dies of exposure. Maybe he didn't have a weapon or anything. Like, we don't know if it was suicide. We don't know if it was actually something even worse, like an intentional matter. It could have been way worse. It could be something that we don't know. And there were reports back then that they thought it was an abduction. And when they were trying to find him, they thought he may have been abducted. But that was definitely wasn't the case. Obviously, they found him dead on an island. So I don't know if he, like, wandered off, like, they chased him off into the woods, and he got lost, couldn't find his way back to the road, and he somehow ended up on an island, which I don't know, like, back, this happened during March, which, back then, I'm trying to think, it was cold, I believe there was still ice on the lake, and it definitely could have been a part where you can walk. Actually, I think, like, the island bit where his body was found, there may have been a road that goes there or somewhere like that, but it could have been something different. It could have been something. It is very tragic of what happened. It could be criminal, could be just him wanting to end his life. But it's weird because we know he sent a text message to his mother, or to come and pick him up. So it's kind of weird and kind of wishy-washy of how something like that happened there. Now, it also just says here, according to the WHO, the probability of dying among adolescents and youth aged 10 to 24 years was 14 deaths per 1,000 children aged 10 in 2020. Globally, death among adolescents since age 10 to 19 in years accounted for 43% of all deaths in those aged 5 to 24 years. Females have lower mortality rates for ages 15 to 24 years old than men. So yeah, like I believe like the WHO and the CDC here are definitely really accurate with what they're saying here, and I definitely, because it does seem really, it's like, it's not up to the exact, I believe it's close enough. It wasn't 2023, it wasn't published yesterday, this was just from a couple years ago, but they are updating the statistics every so often, so it definitely something to be aware about there, And also, now let's talk about young adulthood, which is pretty similar to adolescence death statistics here. According to the World Health Organization, injuries, including road traffic injuries and drowning, violence, self-harm, infectious diseases such as respiratory infections and maternal conditions, complications for pregnancy, are leading causes of death among adolescents and young adults. The WHO kind of mixes up the adolescent age category with the young adulthood category, but these statistics are worldwide instead of just limited to the United States. Another statistic from 2020 says there's approximately 1.3 million adolescents and young adults aged 15 to 24 years old died in 2020, resulting in a probability of dying in the age group of 11 deaths per 1,000 adolescents in 2020. So that's pretty insane there. It also says here, globally, deaths among adolescents aged 15 to 19 years are accounted for 43% of all deaths in those aged 5 to 24. So I believe it's recent. I believe it's restating a few things here. Approximately 569,000. I think I said that right. Older adolescents, 15 to 19 years old, and 762,000 young adults, 20 to 24 years, died in 2020. Females have lower mortality rates than men. Males in these age groups, and that's usually like that's pretty standard. Like most of the time, you expect women to last longer than it's been proven before as well. All right, last up is late adulthood. Most people's goal is to die when they are in their senior years, from like age 70 to age 100. And getting to 100 is a doable goal. It has been done before. The other week, I remember seeing in the story of a 180-year-old nun who died. And 118 years old is a pretty big age. That's pretty old. So it is doable. However, the likelihood of dying from old age as the cause is not that great. There are a lot of other causes of death that would likely outweigh the likelihood of old age deaths. According to Very Well Health, the main causes of death in later adulthood include heart disease, so that would include like a heart attack. Then we have COVID-19. I will talk about COVID-19 in just a moment here. There's cancer. I'll talk a little bit about that as well. Strokes, Alzheimer's, chronic lower respiratory disease, diabetes, and accidents. And accidents actually could be anything, really, in those old ages. Like, getting pushed to the ground when you're in your 30s or when you're in your 20s isn't likely to be as bad as if you're in your older ages. If I remember a few months ago, I remember seeing on the news that a man got pushed to the ground inside a Home Depot store in North Carolina. And that man was in his 80s, maybe even 90s. He got pushed over by someone who was shoplifting. And that person who got pushed over ended up dying because of an injury. And so it is more likely to die from a smaller accident that we would consider, like the younger population would consider falling to the ground, a very small accident these days. But when you get to those older ages, if you take a simple fall to the ground, that could be very detrimental, and that could really harm the person in the future as well. Now, in 2020, the world saw massive amounts of senior fatalities from COVID-19, which makes up the majority of COVID-19 deaths in Canada. It says here on the Canadian government website, 249,278 people died from COVID. And all those people who died, all the 278 people, they were all older than 65. And that's just from 2020. So the amount of deaths intensifies the fact and the matter about wearing masks around healthcare systems or healthcare providers. So we don't see any more COVID deaths. And like as of right now, the healthcare system has been strained by these respiratory illnesses. We're seeing the flu take a resurgence. We're seeing COVID. We're seeing RSV making a resurgence recently in children. And it's becoming really, really bad. And it could be really bad for older people as well. So, and getting the proper health care, if the health care is bad, is very difficult. I mean, the other week, we will mention it a little bit later on. We'll talk about this a bit later on. A woman who was pregnant was forced to give birth on the floor of her apartment, or of her mother's apartment in Yorkton, because the hospital in Yorkton turned them away. We'll talk about that a bit later on, but that is insane. The healthcare system is really bad. That tells you, if they're turning away a pregnant person, you know it's bad. Now, it also says here, I did write down here, in November of 2020, Alex Trebek, who is the host of Jeopardy for several years, died from pancreatic cancer. And Alex Trebek was 80 years old. And I guess pancreatic cancer is more likely in those older ages. I rarely hear of anyone who's in their 30s or 40s. Well, maybe 40s. But like anywhere younger than 40 getting pancreatic cancer, even though it's detectable. But it's mostly in those like middle-aged adults or older adults who get the pancreatic cancer. I remember a couple of years ago, Ruth Bader Ginsburg died from pancreatic cancer. And then it also says here, Betty White died in 2021 from a stroke complications sustained on Christmas Eve. And I remember Betty White was literally weeks away from her 100th birthday. Her 100th birthday would have been on January 17th, and she died, I believe it was like, it was either New Year's Eve or the day before New Year's Eve. I think she was honestly robbed. She was really old. There are a few people, there are a select few people who you think can live forever. One example would be Queen Elizabeth, who died in September. She defied the odds, though. Queen Elizabeth defied the odds and died from old age, which really isn't seen these days. Mostly it's due to an illness, or one of the causes I told you about just moments ago here. Now, according to Join Cake, which is a website apparently, rarely does anyone die of old age alone. So she defied the odds. Queen Elizabeth defied the odds. Kind of made history. I feel like the world said goodbye to her in a perfect way. I think God took her in a way that was suitable. I kind of saw Queen Elizabeth's death coming, though, for quite a while. I remember last year, or not last year, it was like 2021. I remember it was like November. She sprained her back like a couple days before a Remembrance Day ceremony. And at that point, I was like, you know what? I think within the next year or so, the Queen is going to die. And I remember saying the same thing about Prince Philip. I remember he was going to the hospital a lot. And I was like, I don't think he's going to survive past 2021. And I ended up being right on both of them. And, you know, it's sad to see people die, but like they made it to a very, very good age. They were historic figures. They accomplished so much. I mean, Queen Elizabeth, the longest reigning monarch in history. Not a lot of people can say that. There's only one other person. And I don't think anyone will ever come close to Queen Elizabeth's reign or taking over that. Because as of right now, King Charles, he's in his like 70s, right? He's not going to make it. He's not going to get his platinum jubilee. That's not going to happen because he's old. He's already old. So I could see with sometime within the next 30 years the death of Charles. However, it is insane how these people are getting, they're accomplishing their life goals. And that's what I want to do. I remember a few weeks ago, we watched a video about a woman who's, I believe she was in like her 80s or something like that, and maybe the 70s. She was getting her PhD, and she managed to get it. She managed to get her PhD, and not a lot of people can do it. Not a lot of people can get their PhD, despite seeing on the Big Bang Theory that everyone, with the exception of Howard and I guess maybe Penny, they all got PhDs. They defied the odds. That's like really, it's pretty difficult to get a PhD these days. You got to go through a huge process, and it's basically giving the older generation the key or the eye, saying you can do anything you want if you put your mind to it. If you see a goal, strive for it. And I remember a long time ago when I was younger, my great-grandma, I believe, she was 96 when she died. And she died from old age. And I remember it. And I remember her saying, I lived a fantastic life, and I will attend Lindsay's wedding. Auntie Lindsay is my auntie. I will attend Lindsay's wedding, and then I will die. And that's exactly what happened. She attended the wedding in August, I believe, and she died a couple weeks later. And she achieved a lot. If you put your mind to it, you can achieve a lot. So it is pretty insane here. Now back on the COVID front. I think COVID is something we can't sleep on, right? And I think it's something we're just going to have to learn to live with. And I think getting a COVID booster shot every year or something like that would be doable. Well, kind of like a flu shot to help the death. But like it's, I think we're going, regardless, someone from Canada is going to die from COVID every single year. And I don't think there's any way in preventing COVID at this point. I think the world is just going to have to learn to live with COVID, kind of like how we had to learn to live with the flu and stuff like that, and other viruses. So, yeah, we just went through a lot of that. And it's pretty insane. These causes of death, they seem to pile up when you get older. And I feel like one thing that keeps, that's there across the board is actually cancer. You see death, cancer deaths from people in their 80s. You see people who are in their 50s die from cancer. You see people who are in their 40s die from cancer. We saw Nightbird
who was on America's Got Talent in 2021. She died from cancer back in February 2022. And she was only in her 30s. There are people in their 20s. The YouTuber Technoblade, he was 23 when he died of cancer. So, like, medicine, modern day medicine, has definitely improved. And that's definitely good, because now there are less people dying from cancer than there used to be. And there are less people dying from other diseases like AIDS or HIV than there used to be. Yeah, pretty insane overall. All right, next up, I figured it would be interesting to run through the life expectancy for men and women and people just in general in specific countries around the world. So I've opened up this website here on Wikipedia. I think it's pretty accurate. But we got a whole bunch of countries here. These ones are according to, this one is, this life expectancy is according to the World Bank. And I just want to run through all some of these here. Not all of them, because there's literally, I believe, like 197 countries or something like that. And depending on what organization you're looking at, there's more than 200. So, yeah, we're definitely not looking at all of them. But, yeah, so starting off with Japan, though. So for everyone in general, it says the average age expectancy is 84.62. And for men, it is 81.64. And for females or women, it's 87.74. So that's for Japan. Next up, we have Singapore. We have 83.74 for everyone. We have 81.50 for men. For females, we got 86.50. So, yeah. We're seeing a lot. These early ones, we're seeing a lot of 83s. So, like, 83 for all. A lot of 81s, 80s. So, and it definitely seems like across most of the board here, for the most part, women are living longer than men. And that's definitely been proven before. Some of these countries are saying, like, 70s. Like, Spain says 79 for men and 85 for women. So that's pretty insane. And Costa Rica says 77.95 for men and 83.05 for women and 80 for everyone. So that's interesting. Albania, 77 for men and 80.62 for women. So definitely across the board here, for the most part, women seem to be living longer than men in most of these countries. I think I passed Canada. I want to go look. I'm gonna go look at Canada here because of that. It should be interesting. I wonder where is Canada on this thing? It should say. Let's find it. But it keeps getting lower and lower. So, actually, Canada is probably towards the top. It's definitely not that much lower, right? Oh, Canada, it says 81.75 for all and 79.7 for males, 83.90 for women. So, yeah. I feel like, United Kingdom here, it says 80 for everyone, 80.90. For everyone, men, it's 79, literally on the dot, and 82.90 for women. So there are a lot It seems pretty definitively that women are living longer than men. And I don't know if it's just because like some of it could be decisions. Because there are people who make those dumb decisions. I actually do think that since COVID, everyone has gotten a little bit more immature. So that's something. There we go. That's not every country, but a lot of countries here. Life expectancy. I was not about to run through every single one. It was pretty interesting looking through those statistics of death around the world, though, by age. I mean, I really expected going into this that I knew most of the statistics. The homicides part for the young adults and the adolescents, that is kind of insane. Suicide, I can definitely see why that would definitely be in there in those categories. Mental health definitely seems to be more of a thing nowadays than it used to be back in the 80s or 90s. So yeah, lot of stuff there. A lot of interesting facts. So, yeah. Now for the top stories that have made the news recently. A passenger plane has crashed in Nepal, killing all 72 people on board. The plane appeared to stall as it slammed into a gorge. The incident happened on January 15, 2023. Investigation into the crash is now underway. Joe Makershon reports, and a disclaimer, the report says 68 deaths, but has since been upgraded to 72.
The twin-engine passenger airplane was moments from landing on a sunny, clear morning when its left wing suddenly dipped and it crashed into a gorge. The horror of those moments captured from inside the plane by a passenger live streaming the descent. Seconds later, his camera captured a fireball. There was a huge blast, said Divas Bohara, the man who witnessed the plane's last seconds. There were flames, red flames, and where I was, I felt the ground shaking like an earthquake. The Yeti Airlines plane was carrying 72 people from Kathmandu to Nepal's second largest city, Pokhara. A short 27-minute flight that has now become the country's worst air disaster in three decades. Rescue workers and onlookers worked into the evening searching for survivors. None have been found. Most of the passengers on board were Nepalese. There were 15 foreign nationals from Asia, Europe, South America, and Australia. None were Canadian. As families rushed to the airport for word on loved ones, Nepal's prime minister called an emergency cabinet meeting. All forces have been deployed for rescue, he said. The investigation is going on now. The ATR-72 is considered a reliable European-made aircraft. This one was just over 15 years old, used for short regional trips.
At that point in time, getting a half kilometer back from the end of the runway, you're in a very slow condition. You've got your flaps fully down, ready for landing, and you're at your most vulnerable.
So CTV's aviation specialist says it appears the plane stalled as it was descending.
As the aircraft slows down, it produces less lift, and it falls out of the sky, essentially.
The plane's black box will help investigators understand the cause of the crash that killed so many.
A near disaster ended up with no injuries and a lot of relief in Australia after a Qantas flight bound for Sydney, Australia from Auckland, New Zealand declared a Mayday alert while flying over the Pacific Ocean. The incident occurred on Wednesday, January 18, 2023. The Boeing 737 jet was transporting 148 passengers and crew. According to a report from Australian news outlet 7 News, just after 2 p.m. on Wednesday, about an hour outside of Sydney, the pilot for flight QF144 from Auckland reported one of the twin engines had malfunctioned and was losing power. The plane was met with a massive emergency response at landing, which was deployed by Sydney Airport, including federal police, airport fire crews, and ambulance personnel. Despite the massive response, the pilot managed to land the plane safely. Trying to keep passengers from panicking, the pilot chose not to inform passengers of the disruption until the very last moment. One of the passengers who was on the flight stated, I just heard a bang and maybe a slight shudder, but that was it. The passenger also stated they were so professional about it and so calm about it. According to the Australian International Pilots Association, an incident like the one that occurred on Wednesday is extremely rare. An investigation into the air malfunction is expected to be conducted. The near disaster brings back memories of another near tragedy involving a Qantas flight. Back in November of 2010, a double-decker Qantas airplane flying from London to Sydney declared a mayday alert after one of the engines blew up mid-flight. The plane managed to make a successful emergency landing in Singapore, avoiding what could have been one of the worst single aircraft crashes in aviation history. That plane was carrying 469 people. There has been a deadly mass shooting in Monterey Park, California. At least 10 people died and 10 were injured when a 72-year-old gunman opened fire at a ballroom dance floor. Tom Walters has the details, and a disclaimer, the details came from a report Sunday, January 22nd, 2023.
Shooting victims treated on the sidewalk.
I got approximately 10 deceased.
The wounded loaded into ambulances, some clearly reeling from the shock, and rushed to local hospitals. After gunfire in this dance studio shattered a festive night in usually peaceful Monterey Park.
We feel so safe, but how come? What happened?
The bullets and bloodshed came late on the first day of a two-day celebration of Lunar New Year.
I thought we were missing fireworks.
And then I knew for a fact it was not fireworks when I heard the helicopter up above.
A mass shooting in a community where two-thirds of the population is Asian American, and in the middle of such an important cultural event, immediately raised questions of a hate crime, although the gunman was also described as Asian American.
We don't know if this is specifically a hate crime defined by law, but who walks into a dance hall and guns down 20 people?
Shortly after the lethal gunfire here in Monterey Park, police say there was a second incident at another dance club in the neighboring community of Alhambra. A man matching the same description entered carrying a gun, was disarmed, and fled, reportedly in a white cargo van. A man suspected in both incidents was identified from security camera video. And when police in the nearby community of Torrance pulled over a vehicle matching the description of the white van, they heard a single gunshot from inside. A SWAT team moved in and found 72-year-old Hukan Tran dead of an apparently self-inflicted wound.
This incident came to an ending here in Torrance.
Although it's hard to say it's really over when so much grief remains.
The day was supposed to be a happy, nice day for everyone to enjoy.
I'm pretty sure all our hearts are heavy.
Historic Taiwanese-Chinese community. So to see this happen in this place is shattering.
Tragedy now measured by those killed, those in hospital, and an entire community deeply wounded. Tom Walters, CTV News, Monterey Park, California.
Giving birth to a baby is supposed to be a joyful moment for a family. However, one mother says instead of giving birth in a hospital, she gave birth in her mother's home.
after being turned away from Yorkton's hospital. Brady Lang reports.
Tara and Mitchell Luce have three children together. The family just gave birth to baby Lincoln, but unlike Lincoln's siblings who were born in the hospital, Lincoln's story is a little bit different.
Where was Lincoln born?
At my mom's condo floor in Yorkton, Saskatchewan.
The couple says they were turned away from the Yorkton Regional Hospital, being told that Tara's contractions weren't 1 to 2 minutes apart, and she was only dilated 3 centimeters, so they couldn't admit her. They left the hospital at 6:43, and Lincoln came into the world at 8 o'clock, in the hands of his father and the help of a 911 operator.
My adrenaline rush was just pumping like no other, and when that water broke, I was just like, oh boy, I was just in shock.
It was good. I'm glad it went how it did. And there was no complications, because if there was, it wouldn't have been good.
Luckily, both Tara and Lincoln are healthy and happy. The family said it has been in contact with the Ministry of Health and says they have received an apology. When asked about Lincoln's birth, the Saskatchewan Health Authority says every patient is assessed independently with consultation and guidance from our OBGYNs. Determining the next steps in a plan of care is based on a physician's recommendation and medical assessments. The Luces know their story is personal, but they have a message for other parents and prospective parents.
If you think there's something wrong, go with your gut and advocate for yourself, because, I mean, I don't wish upon anyone to have a home pregnancy when you're not expecting to be at home. You want to be in the hospital.
After the delivery, the family traveled by ambulance to the regional hospital in Yorkton and were also given a bill of $750 for the ride. Tara says after further discussions with the ministry, half of that bill has been waived. Although the parents said one thing is certain.
Well, unfortunately, we won't be delivering ever in Yorkton. And I think we're done having kids.
Brady Lang, CTV News, Yorkton.
All right, so let's talk about that report there from Brady Lang. I think that's really, really unfortunate. No mother wants to give birth in her home. Or at least a majority of mothers don't want that to happen. They had to literally use a dispatcher to help them instead of going to the hospital. Why did the hospital turn them away? It was literally minus 40 out. It was one of those really cold Saskatchewan days. And I feel like that just intensifies the part that the healthcare system in Canada is crippled because of COVID and RSV and all the other illnesses and events going on out there. Also reminds me, like, back, this is a couple weeks ago, two people in Nova Scotia died while waiting for healthcare. They were literally sitting in the emergency room and they died because they didn't get the proper treatment in time. Because they were so backlogged. And I cannot imagine going through something like that. I think it is really, really bad on the hospital's part to literally let a patient die. I think in cases like this, charges should be laid. Now, for all those stories that you heard during the news part, they were kind of tied in to the death part. Because as for the baby part, it would have been kind of like there could have been some sort of accident, right? Or incident. Like, babies have had stillbirths before. Babies sometimes need oxygen right away. I remember, when I was born, my mother got to hold me for like literally maybe 5 seconds. And then they took me away because I was really ill because I was immature. And not like immature in the sense that you're running around all over the place. It's just, it was so, because I was born so early that it actually became very, very dangerous for the baby and for myself. Well, now for the shooting part, we did the California shooting. That kind of falls into the homicide part. We've talked about that a little bit earlier, or the college students in Idaho. That all falls under like homicide. And now for this plane crash, that kind of falls under the accident. And there have been some pretty bad accidents involving plane crashes, involving planes. Obviously, the one in Nepal. And while plane crashes are rare, they do happen. And I want to bring up, like, motor accidents. There are motor accidents every single day. Just before I recorded this section, I looked on the CTV News website, and I saw that a man died after being struck by a train. And both of his children were sent to hospital. Happened in Churchbridge, Saskatchewan. It was terrifying. Well, not like it must have been terrifying. That is really sad. And that is a reality. There are accidents every single day in pretty much every single country. Especially here in Canada, the United States, England. There are accidents all over the world every single day, whether it be because of road conditions, like drunk drivers, other forms that could have caused it. Maybe the driver's own fault. But accidents definitely make up a good percentage of deaths across Canada. Not just only in Canada, but around the world. So yeah, it's pretty insane. I feel like going through experiencing someone's death has to be one of the hardest things ever. And it was hard for me when I lost Cleo, my cat, a couple weeks ago. It was hard. And it's always hard losing someone when you're really, really close to. But that's just a way of life. It is. Now, humans, when we looked into the life expectancy, there are scenarios. Humans can live for a long time. 80 years. That's still pretty long. And in some cases, 90s even. Humans, men, women, they can live pretty old depending on where you live. As of right here in Canada, 80s for both men and I believe women as well. Women might actually be high. They could be in the 90s. As of right now, as I'm recording this, I can't remember. But It is extremely good to know that a majority of humans nowadays, because of the better medicine that has been developed, the vaccines for certain viruses like COVID and flu, It's definitely better. It's definitely better. So I just went back to this website here. It actually says Canada is men are likely to be like about 80 when they die, and then women have 83.90. So that's pretty insane. For men, actually, it does say 79.70, but you could probably round that up to 80. And this is from a couple of years ago. This is from 2020. And for all we know, it could have changed. And for all we know, in a few weeks' time, they're going to release a statement saying life expectancy has gotten better in Canada. And women are going to have the likelihood of dying later. Same thing with men in Canada. Now, I could think of some reasons why someone might die. And I think one of the big reasons is poverty and access to healthcare. I think those are pretty big reasons to why some of these people are dying. It's pretty sad in some cases, because there are people who are literally in their 20s, 30s, who died because limited healthcare access. I remember a couple years ago, back in 2020, a woman was being harassed by doctors. And you don't want that. You would think doctors or healthcare providers or emergency personnel would be happy to help you, because that is their job. It is their job to help the people. But in some cases, that doesn't work. And in the case of one person in Quebec, they literally killed her. They pulled the plug on her, and she was only, I believe, in her 30s. And I remember a couple of weeks ago, I think it was actually last week as I'm recording this, two emergency personnel, paramedics, they were responding to a person who is suffering from extreme withdrawal from alcohol. And they literally did nothing. And I literally saw the video that one guy slams his head to the stretcher. And that, like, the way they treated that person was wrong. And I definitely agree with them. I definitely agree with the court there where they charged them with murder. Because that is wrong. It is wrong. If you go to the hospital, you're expecting to get the best treatment possible. And thank goodness those two people were charged. So, it's something to think about, you know? And, like, bringing up death is not a good topic to talk about. Going to a funeral, really sad. Remember a couple years ago. Now, I remember going to a funeral for, I think it was my great-grandpa or something like that. His name was Grandpa Cucci. He died of cancer, and he was in his 90s. That's a pretty good age. And when we went to the funeral, there were people who are just devastated by this loss. I think there was one person who was really devastated, was crying pretty much the entire time. And now, I didn't really know Grandpa Cucci, so I wasn't as affected by it, but I know a lot of other people were. And it is sad, but it is something, it's just something we're going to have to learn to with it. Learn to live with. Whether we like it or not, every person is going to die. Whether it be in 10 years, 40 years, depending on your age. Everyone's going to die at one point. Whether it be early, late. It's just something we're going to have to live with. And there are definitely ways, like if you exercise, eat healthy, you could live for a very, very long time. I mean, look at those people. There are people who lived in their hundreds. Getting to 90 in some cases, in most cases, is pretty rare. So it's pretty important to, you know, stay healthy, exercise, stay on top of issues. And you can get to a pretty good age. You want to be able to get to a certain age in your life where you feel like you accomplished a good chunk of things. Now for your Kenora weather forecast for today, Friday, January 27th, 2022. It is minus 16 outside. It has the high. The low is supposed to get down to minus 29. I mean, there is a 20% chance of precipitation. 90 km/h winds. It is also partly cloudy. And there we go. That wraps up this episode of The Brandon Show. Thank you for listening. I know it's been a while, and this episode's pretty long, as you can see. But thank you for listening, and have a great day.